Let's begin this meeting of the Alameda County Agricultural Advisory Committee today, Tuesday, November 18th. I am your chair, Jack Norton, with our vice chair, Diana Roberts, excused today. First order of business after the call to order would be the roll call. Can we do that, Ellen?
Yes. Chair Norton?
Here.
Vice Chair Roberts excused. Member Anderson has a just cause remote attendance. Did you want to unmute yourself, Jeff, and give your reason?
Yeah, I have a contagious kind of flu virus that I just didn't want to be a distraction and possibly get anybody else sick. Yeah.
We appreciate that. Thank you. So Member Anderson, present. Member B. Miller?
Present.
Member Campos?
Here.
Member Farhat?
Here.
Member Goslin?
Here.
Member Harvey excused. Member Hockeys?
Here.
Member Huntsinger? Not here yet. Member Moore is excused. Member Quigley?
Here.
Member Sullivan?
Here.
Karen Sweet, I think, is going to try to dial in. Don't see her online. She has an excuse. But she may be joining us later, so excused. Member Wendy is on the way, and Member White excused. So we do have a quorum. And then our ex officio members, Member Barry, Member Ho excused, Member Frank, I think, Member Evers, that's me. Oh, Kathy is here. Kathy, hey, no Dawn today. And Veronica is excused, she is furloughed. So, yes, quorum.
Okay, fantastic. Allie, would you mind reiterating what members are in virtual attendance?
Yeah, so Member Anderson has a just cause remote attendance.
Yep.
And I did see Marilyn Harvey online as well. Oh, wait, no, Marilyn Russell. So yeah, Carl is, I can promote Carl. So Carl's here too. Carl, I'm promoting you to panelist if you'd like to say howdy.
Can you do the Brady Bunch for you for a minute?
See Carl. Unmute if you'd like to say hi.
I am here. I'm not going to make it. I got out late, traffic, and then I went to the wrong spot, and then I had a car. I'm on the call. I'm not sure you can call me a good excuse for not being there, but I turned around because so.
Well, you're here, so you we can't count you toward the quorum in the room, but you can vote as members since you're here. So yes.
Yep, thank you, Carl.
Perfecto.
I expect that maybe some more members will be joining online just due to the massive traffic we're having out there. So if you could keep an eye on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Second order of business, item number three, is the approval of minutes from the previous meeting. A copy of the draft of the minutes was provided. We have any motion or second on that?
Chair, I move to approve the minutes of October 28th.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Second? I'm sorry. Jerry.
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 All for the motion?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. The motion passes unanimously. We can do it that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on. Item number four is the open forum. Any member of the public may address the committee on a matter not on the regular agenda. No discussion or action may be taken on these items, and there is a 2-minute time limit. Of course, all members of the board also can participate as members of the public in this open forum.
So I don't
see, do we have anybody?
We have somebody online. I don't see any raised hands in the room. So seeing none here, shall I go ahead to the online speakers? Okay. All right. Kelly, hey, go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Just want to quickly remind this committee, because it's been forgotten and abused so often, that the meaning of the word agricultural, it refers to anything related to the practice of cultivating the soil, producing crops, and raising livestock. Various activities involved in farming, production of food and other goods derived from plants and animals. Now, this abuse of the word agricultural was on full display last night at the Alameda County Planning Commission, where they looked at some project of a 200 houses next to Pleasanton, which near the chain of lakes, and it's called Vista Lago. I guess it should be named Vista Sewage. So they're not going to hook it up to sewer. So they want to run a septic system, and they want to. They 46 times they talk about agricultural irrigation, where they're going to spray the effluent onto the fields, the agricultural fields. And they're talking about agricultural irrigation. It's a joke because they're irrigating native shrubs, native weeds, and rough soil, rough ground. That's next to a lake, a flood area. So this is just dumping the water into the drinking water supply of the Tri Valley, and it is it's a scam, an agricultural scam to dump their sewage water onto the land. They're not running agriculture. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no other raised hands online.
Okay, closing the open forum and moving on to the executive team update. The primary component of the executive team update, this meeting will be the action item,
Recording in progress.
Whether to adopt the 2026 meeting calendar. As members will remember, at the previous meeting, there was some discussion around whether to possibly change the proposed schedule or not. And one of the things I learned then was that it's much easier to cancel a meeting than to add a meeting. And so there was a couple of varying views, but it seemed that the idea that we stick to this schedule and cancel meetings as possible if there are no action items available seemed to predominate to me. But beyond that, I'm happy for any discussion or take any motions if there is no discussion needed. Larry.
I noticed in red there's options of Castro Valley Library or Public Works.
Yes.
So are we going to discuss that or?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Does anybody, I think it's fair for the folks who are more in the West County if they want to have some of these meetings at Castro Valley Library. If you look at the schedule, the items in red that do state Castro Valley Library or Public Works Building Dublin, both of those are currently available. So we would have the option to meet at the Castro Valley Library on those days. Any of the other proposed days, the Castro Valley Library is not available. So.
Personally, I have no objection to the Castro Valley Library.
Yeah, I can support it for the reason you stated.
Yeah, my feeling is I would speak to the current meetings, and if you, I belong to several organizations, and if there's no agenda items, they cancel a meeting. So I would rather have that than put on the, 5 times a year or something like that. I have no problem with Castro Valley.
Fantastic. Barring any more discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
So can I move to approve?
Yeah, and perhaps let's settle whether we're going to meet at the Castro Valley Library on those 3 days too.
Yeah, I think I'd leave it up to the chair to decide that, and I'm fine with this agenda, so I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, let's choose the Castro Valley Library on those 3 days for Jerry's motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. We need to take public comment before we vote. Ellie?
Yeah. Don't see any raised hands online anymore.
Okay. All right. This doesn't seem like a controversial item, so that we can just vote in group. All ayes. Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. I believe the that passes unanimously as well. Okay. Closing item number five. Moving forward to item number six. Item number six is to approve a clarification on last month's item seven on the AAC's October 28th, 2025 agenda. Ali, would you like to kind of share how this went about? Or?
Yeah, so. So there is some public comment that I included in the packet and is on the back table from somebody who works for the Mokelumne Coast to Crest Trail, who had some issues with the way that the trail was characterized in the maps, and so sort of did my best in this agenda item to clarify. However, it sounds like that individual attended the trail subcommittee meeting and they together came up with some further clarification. So that clarification, I'll go ahead and share on the screen here so everybody has the benefit of it. If this is something that your committee wants to act on, that this is in fact the clarification you want to make, I can attach it to the minutes and then it would become part of the public record that way, in addition to being broadcast on the screen here. So let me share that. Okay. So it's very small. I'm just going to read this. So it, instead of okay. So it's a clarification on the Mokelumne Coast to Crest Trail location from David Lund, AAC Trails Subcommittee member, November 18th, 2025. Trails Subcommittee has been focused on trails within Alameda County. One, the Mokelumne Coast to Crest Trail, which is through here, is entirely within Contra Costa County. Two, the San Francisco Bay to San Joaquin River Trail does extend from Contra Costa County to the Livermore Valley and to Venus Bay. The map shows the proposed location. So there's that. And the Livermore Valley route with San Joaquin to Bay Trail shown here. And this trail has not been a focus of the committee due to the complexity and the many opinions and lack of government support. So the individual wanted had asked the committee to remove the attachment from the last agenda. We can't do that without violating the Brown Act. So this is an attempt to clarify, you know, what was intended. Do you want to speak to that? More
Renee Turnbull.
Gary might want to turn this on.
Did anybody have any, Larry or guest speakers?
Yeah, are we in the committee speaking now?
I guess this is maybe still part of the presentation.
Yeah. I can comment on it, but it's the same comments I make in the, you know, committee meeting. So let's wait till then.
Okay. Did you want to further clarify what you wrote there?
No, I'm David Blunt. We just try to find out where these trails are according to East Bay Regional Parks, and I focused for a long time on the trails of the Livermore Valley, so I don't know much about the trails that are in Contra Costa. So at the meeting, I went to the East Bay site. They do list the other trail, and I started to map where that was, but we used the upper graph, which is what Contra Costa, what they're saying the trail is. I don't have much more to add.
Yeah, I can. I'll add that in the dialogue, one of the emails that we received was from John Mercurio, the current board chair of East Bay Reef Park District, from Contra Costa County, and he confirmed the alignment and partnership with Mokelumne of Coast Crest going through links through Contra Costa County rather than Alameda County. In our meeting with with the gal last night, who is the director of the Mary McCallum Costa Crest Trail organization. She's very, very eager to work with us on connections with our trail. We've got a bunch of them, and we could name and brand, I believe, a trail system across the valley. There are some that are working. Dave shows the California Hiking and Riding Trail and the Delta De Anza Trail are two that we can key on. But the McQuaumee Costa Crest Trail looks to us like it goes through Contra Costa and not us, but we can, and they are willing to connect probably over, she mentioned, they come as close as Orwood, and they follow East Bay Mud's pipeline alignment. So it was kind of a dilemma. The trail committee had never seen the blue line last month. It was presented last month and vetted it. So that created some confusion. It came up through the, as I recall, through the land committee. So the trail committee is trying to do its due diligence as hopefully subject matter experts on the issue.
I'm sorry, I'm still not clear on what we're fixing.
So there was a presentation at last month's meeting.
Allie, I'm way over here. I'm having troubles.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I'm mumbling. There was a presentation at last month's meeting. It was item 7 to endorse the alignment of trail of AAC's trail planning efforts with state and national programs.
Right.
And there were a couple of maps that were in the attachments. Okay. Somebody who is connected to one of the trails groups that manages one of those trails wanted some corrections to the way that the trail was characterized in those maps. So they said
that the trail does not go where we said it did.
Yeah, it was either it doesn't go where we said it did or it was labeled incorrectly. So we're trying to sort of pulling that from the past agenda, which we can't do without violating the Brown Act. We're just trying to make a clarification here.
Well, the clarification is we're voting the trail, is it on the map, or we're...
No, we can't make any changes to the map that was attached to that document, but we can clarify what its purpose was and what it should have shown. It's not a planning document.
Right.
It's just an exhibit.
So I don't mean to belabor this, but with this clarification, the map and designations are accurate.
And this, she was happy with this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like they worked on this with her.
We worked on this and
okay.
What's being presented is endorsable.
So we just need to add that.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll add this to the minutes and we'll say, please refer to, you know, I'm going to have to figure out how to reference. I don't know what I can do with an old attachment that I can't delete.
Right.
So
see corrected.
Do what we can. Yeah.
Okay.
But we can say that this is what they should look like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say the emotion.
So yeah, I think what we had here, you know, was that there may be a motion to, yeah.
I see what you have written in the second half of the item seemed like that was your attempt to craft a motion, but
I was attempting
since the Trails Committee had that meeting, so
yep.
The motion may differ a little bit.
Absolutely. Public comment or?
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
So none of what has been discussed or has been presented, none of it has anything to do with the graphic that was approved by this committee. None of this has been talked about. No meetings, no emails that have come through have anything to do with the graphic that was presented. The graphic is intended to represent a program or policy that is in the early stages of discussion. It's to look at a trail system as being a connector, but not just a connector of people walking along a dirt or bicyclists or horses. It's to be a connector that has application to marketing strategies, including agricultural marketing strategies, but beyond that. It's a program or a policy that's hoped to be developed that's related to international level marketing that can lead to agritourism and supporting the area that way. It's a program or policy that's intended to integrate education into our trail systems in the county and see that that integration is equitable and made available to all the citizens of the county. So right now we have a misdistribution of trails in two ways. We have a graphic misdistribution of trails between Alameda County and Contra Costa County. And we also have a failure to provide adequate trails and trails access to people in our urban environment. So that's what all this is about. And that has not been discussed by the Ag Advisory Committee, and it certainly hasn't been discussed by the Trails Subcommittee. What has happened is the groundwork has been done so that we now can come above ground and start having discussions and representing the administration of Alameda County and the Ag Advisory Committee in a manner that reflects this broader vision. So that being said, any of these recommended changes, if they're put on this body of work, that decision will be appealed and it will be taken to the Board of Supervisors. So it's just a profound misjustice to this committee that a subcommittee would step forward, speculate, and then just pull things out of the air and flop them on a piece of paper. So I encourage everybody to not vote a yes on this if there is a motion. Certainly, I encourage that there not be a motion made. If it is made and passed, then I strongly suggest that we move on to developing policy that creates one committee from interfering with the work and the work product of another. That's it.
Okay, Larry, can I ask you if this second half of what's on the agenda, the couple sentences that begins, the trail corridors map provided in the attachment to item 7 conceptualizes potential Alameda County trail connections to existing and proposed trails outside of the county. Map does not imply that future connector trails in Alameda County will become part of or take the names of the existing or proposed trails to which they may one day connect. If that, as a motion, do you think that that is an appropriate motion, given that this, you think the second motion that entails that paper is not appropriate?
Yeah, I think this is an appropriate addendum or change.
Okay.
So
my understanding of this issue was that the person's concern thought that the name McCallamy Coast to Crest Trail was being co-opted when what our committee had only intended to do was talk about possibly connecting to said trail, and that the idea of connecting to the trail was conflated with the idea of realigning the trail or yep. something along those lines. That's what I thought. My understanding was that was the original problem.
I think that's a good description, in the same way that Gleason Road is a description of where we go to have these meetings. Bonquelmy Coast to Crest is a geographic description of the area that we'll be heading towards. And whether or not we end up there is something for people above our pay grade to consider. And that's the intent, is to get their input on where this trail will go, what benefit it will provide, and which of our neighbors will be interested in participating with this. So far, there's been pretty good response on that. I don't know when there's going to be time to give this committee an update, but I am hopeful that that's the case. We'll be able to give an update and move.
Okay. Well, for myself, I understand, I feel like I understand this here, but from Trails. I do not understand what's going on in that letter. Part of it is because I don't have a copy here for me to look at. But could we talk about what is going on in that letter? As you know, because we essentially we had folks from the committee. Some are saying I would support this motion. Some are saying I would support that motion. Personally, I understand the motion we just talked about. I do not understand exactly what's going on with that letter and that other motion. So what are these new maps and what are they correcting, or and how do they relate to item 7 from last month's meeting?
The maps that were just shown aren't new maps. They're our best rendition. Well, they're East Bay's because they're the provider for long distance trails in Alameda and Contra Costa. They've chimed in on these because they're their lines, and the other the new lines that
that's Contra Costa, right? That's not Alameda.
Yeah, they're an entirely different jurisdiction than Alameda County. So you're saying they intervene on our planning process?
No.
But Larry,
I'm not saying that at all.
If I could ask, that map shows that's a map of Contra Costa. Those lines are all in Contra Costa, is that correct? Or some of those lines in Alameda?
Let me ask the presenter. Could you answer that one question, Dave?
I didn't hear it. The map we see on the screen there, is that that's a map of Contra Costa, correct? There's no Alameda in there.
Just the bottom right corner.
Not in the trails, not where the trails are. Those trails are all in Contra Costa.
Right. And the point of this was when we look at where that trail is supposed to be, and I also looked on East Bay's map where the segments are, all those segments appear to be in that county and they don't appear to be in Alameda County for that, for the trail. So the McCallamy Coast to Crest Trail doesn't seem to enter the Livermore Valley.
Okay.
I think that was the issue. And so we met yesterday just so we could understand where is this trail, and they're very concerned that they want to make sure people show the trail where it's supposed to be and not going to Livermore Valley. That was their concern.
Okay. It does strike me as odd as that we you know, be showcasing a map that's out of our jurisdiction, or that it matters in one way or another whether we declare the trail is not in our jurisdiction, is not in our jurisdiction. Is there more to this letter, or is that the entirety of the letter, essentially?
A bit more.
Well, because if we are going to make a motion on this, we should all understand what this is.
Oh, it's all.
So one part of it is declaring, is basically just saying the Coast to Crest Trail is not in Alameda County. That's what one part of it says, but what is the other part saying?
Well, the other part of it is just to almost for our trail group, is that there are a number of regional trails that are listed on the East Bay Regional Park Planning Map. And so the other one shows this long trail that goes from Big Break, Contra Costa, all the way down. And then what's significant is it comes into the Livermore Valley and it comes down, which is Chain of Lakes, but it comes down to Stanley and then goes to Shadow Cliffs. And then from Shadow Cliffs, it goes into Pleasanton and there really isn't a trail there. Then it shows it going all the way down to Sunol, but there is no trail there yet. And then it shows the trail going down Niles Canyon, and that's $100 million project. So when I say it's complicated, you got about six projects here. And in the northern corner is where that big solar array is. And there was an opportunity to put a trail through the solar array, but nothing ever happened. So now we have a solar array right in the middle of where the trail was supposed to be. So that makes it really complicated. And that's why our group doesn't focus on those. But that is a regional trail, and we would support it. But
okay.
Does that explain it?
I like to ask dumb questions, so let me wait until I feel like I got this figured out. But so this second part, I'm going to call this the second part, the first part of the first map. The second part is now showing Is that an ex that is not an existing trail?
It's a trail plan, yeah.
It is an existing trail plan of some
East Bay Regional Parks.
Of East Bay Regional Parks. Okay. And so just showing that map doesn't mean anything. It's, you know, that map exists. We can show it here, we can show it anywhere. But what would we be using in the motion? What would we be declaring about this map? Are we just saying this map exists? Or are we saying anything beyond this map exists?
I don't think that map doesn't really refer to the presentation last month.
Yeah.
That showed a trail that was called the McCollumy Crest. And it should have a line, and that was the line that bothered the director of who's working on that project.
Okay.
He seemed to be bothered by the fact that there was a trail on a, there was a line on a map showing a trail, and it was labeled the Coastal Crest Trail. And
yes,
they were very concerned about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm still trying to really understand what they're asking us to do, because we would like to just fix it.
Yes.
I think that if it had been labeled potential connector to the McCollumy Coastal Crest Trail from Alameda County, that
yeah,
that might have.
Which seems like that was the intention.
I think it
yeah,
was. So that was what I was sort of attempting to do in the language in 6 here, which is basically to clarify that the McCollumy Coastal Crest Trail exists. It is managed by the McCollumy Coastal Crest Trail Council.
Yeah.
It, you know, it, the trail corridors map conceptualizes potential connectors to it, which will have their own names and may never be organizationally connected to the McCollumy Coastal Crest Trail. Just,
yeah,
so short of deleting that map, which is
my,
that
my,
I kind of
my dumb question. okay, so if we respond to these people saying, hey, nice catch, thanks for your
yeah,
input, and we put in the minutes that we recognize, you know, we mislabeled this, do we need to do more than that?
No.
We can't do more than that. We can't delete it. So
thing is, it's never been mislabeled.
Yeah.
Let
me.
We don't want to express that we did something we didn't do.
I believe from the reps' visit to our meeting yesterday that they want to connect with us, and they even mentioned Orwood and the Orwood Bridge that were, it could be, and that's, we're looking over in that vicinity, Mountain House and Bethany Reservoir. So I think Ellie just said if we called it the blue line a connector and take the Coastal Crest Trail designation off it, I think that would please them and put us in a good standing. Do you guys
feel? As far as I know, I can't make any changes to it.
But what you wrote here is essentially that
that's
it's a simple
motion. You can add that.
Base that.
Yeah.
Is that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say at this point that I do not, I think you guys do not have a conflict, and that that they're really, this motion as Allie has, potential motion as Allie has written it is elegant and covers everything. I don't think here on this letter we really have even something to really draw a motion from. It's not that well developed. And I don't think you guys are in conflict after all. Maybe there is some, you know, just concern that what do you call it?
Crosswires.
Yeah, cross the wires is a good description. Some self-deception where, you know, people are maybe getting a little overly concerned about something and suspecting that there is you know, forgetting that everybody has the best of intentions, basically.
Yeah.
Which crosswires does a good job saying that.
So can we just let it be?
I think we could let it be. I personally also think that maybe what Allie has written is fair and just kind of clarifies and says, hey, we were just making concepts up and we were not trying to say that we were taking over your trail, and we are not trying to steal your name. I think both of those sound like good pathways. I don't want to make a motion. I like how Carl never made motions. Or if you bless you,
I'll make that motion.
And the motion you're making is these last two sentences, right?
Yeah.
Starting with the trail corridor groups.
It's simple, and I think it does. It might in the long term help us connect, which is our goal.
Can somebody define the motion for the public?
Yes. The motion is, as stated, the trail corridors map provided in the attachment to item 7 conceptualizes potential Alameda County trail connections to existing or proposed trails outside of the county. The map does not imply that future connector trails in Alameda County would become part of or take the names of the existing or proposed trails to which they may one day connect.
Perfect.
So it's as written.
As written. I believe it's the final two sentences in the agenda. It's, the motion was made by Mr. Quigley, seconded by Mr. Goslin. Let's go ahead and do a roll call, huh? Let's do it.
Okay. Terry Orton.
Aye. Yes.
Member Roberts, or Mr. Roberts, excused. Member Anderson online.
Aye.
Okay. Member V. Miller.
Aye.
Member Campos.
Aye.
Member Farhat.
Aye.
Member Goslin.
Aye.
Member Harvey. Member Hoppies.
Yes.
Member Huntsinger still. Member Moore excused. Member Quigley.
Aye.
Member Sullivan.
Aye.
Member Sweet. Karen, you joined us. Raise your hand if you have. She's still not here. Member Wendy. Online?
You know, we didn't do public comment.
Oh, you're right, we didn't.
I'm sorry about
that. You can put a pin in that. And if nobody changes their eye, then yes, good call.
Okay.
So we do have one raised hand online and somebody in person here. So Andrew, you want to go ahead? Do you have 2 minutes in the room?
Yeah, I think we were talking about apples and oranges. And I think that now that Jack closed with these are two different things, the map that Larry presented and the map that this other discussion that came up in trails. And then the second one is that you read this motion and it seems to make sense to me. I'm in the public view supporting the chair.
And we have one raised hand online for that. Ellie, go ahead and unmute. You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. One of the big players in this is, their name is right on the map. It's called East Bay Regional Park District. And there's been some frustration from the Tri-Valley and from other places that they weren't playing nice and really helping to get these more regional trails going, so they had a meeting today. They had a meeting a week or two ago, and it was very interesting meeting. And 2 days later, the general manager resigned. So that was how interesting the meeting was. There is hope that under new leadership that they're going to be doing better work on these things, and these maps are all conceptual. I never get too worried about any of these maps because they're all conceptual, and you should put it on the title: conceptual, everything conceptual. These are draft, whatever. And as far as the overall network in the Tri-Valley, I think it's going to be pretty simple. You have an Iron Horse Trail, and it could come all the way down to Pleasanton, and then turn to the east and get hook up with the South Bay Aqueduct. The South Bay Aqueduct curves around to the north and runs around Livermore, you'll have these trails all around the Tri-Valley, looping the whole Tri-Valley, and especially going through the wine country, because that's that aqueduct, very important, very important. So there's nothing wrong. You can't build a wrong trail. You just build more trails, you'll fix all the problems. And your method, your little committees, your grassroots, bottom up, build some trails, come up with the concepts. This is a great way to do some get things done, or at least get things started, because I don't see other people in other you guys are doing a lot more to get trails built than anybody anywhere else.
Time is up.
Okay. Can the public see the time?
Yes.
Okay. Any more, no more public comment, then we'll go back to our votes. If anybody has changed, or, oh, Bill?
I will be up.
Okay. Has everybody voted, or?
I think we only had Carl was the last one. If you'd like to weigh in. Thanks.
Aye.
That's an aye. Okay.
Carl?
Motion carries.
Okay. Closing item number six and moving to item number seven. Item number seven is to authorize the AAC chair or designee to send a letter to the Board of Supervisors. Subject of the letter would be to request that the BOS provide comment to California State Parks on Alameda Tesla property trails priority. A little background, this item was born or is carried over from last meeting when a letter was attempted to be submitted. It was submitted late, it did not make it into the agenda packet. And through that letter and hearing from the public, we learned about how to do things the right way, and then these things need to be, make sure they are noticed, make sure they are in the agenda packet essentially, and that instead of directly endorsing or sending a letter ourselves to the State Board of Parks telling us that we endorse such an item, that the proper route, the proper channel for us is to recommend that the BOS do that. And so I believe that this letter, which is in the attachment, the item number seven attachment, hopefully you all have seen it and had a chance to read it. This letter has definitely tried to take into account all concerns that the Trails Committee heard from the public. And that's how this letter was crafted. And now I will turn it over to the board for any more discussion. Bill, would you like to, Dave, excuse me, would you like to get started on this?
Yes, thanks. The letter is self-explanatory. If there's questions, we'll answer them. We stayed completely away from the classification issue and went on the existing infrastructure of existing ranch roads, fire suppression roads and trails that we can see on the property. And that's been connecting with master trail plans of the city of East Bay Regional Park District and headed over the hill to San Joaquin County. And that's in our letter because there's an abandoned railroad in the Western Pacific that went up to Carnegie on the east side of the hill. So that's kind of the genesis of our letter. We sent it, we put it simply and hopefully effectively. And we have pictures, if there's questions, showing what's in the letter, basically.
You're saying that you are prepared to present some more pictures if the board would
sure.
like that.
If the board, if that's the pledge of the board.
Okay. Any more commentary for the board? Would the board like to see these pictures? Is there any more commentary from the board at this moment?
Yes, I'd like to go. I appreciate the work Trails Committee has done on this, but I think this letter is premature. Right now, State Parks is evaluating whether to set Tesla aside as a state park, which allows many uses all the way up, including campgrounds and visitor centers, to a reserve, which is much more restrictive. And it seems likely that the parking and call for in this letter and the multi-use trail call for this letter may be inconsistent with the designation of Tesla as a reserve. The vast majority of organizations that are involved in Tesla for many years now have uniformly called for state parks to set Tesla aside as a reserve. And I do not think it's appropriate at this time for this committee to be suggesting to the Board of Supervisors that they be endorsing or setting forth proposals that may be inconsistent with reserve status. Once State Park makes a decision, you know, we can certainly revisit this, but I would urge the committee to postpone sending this letter in. I did receive a letter from David First, who is on the LARPD board, and I think it's been distributed, but would it be appropriate for me to read some of this in?
I'm happy.
No objections. Let's talk about this. My name is David First. I'm a Livermore resident, and he apologizes for not being able to be here. I am a longtime trails advocate as an elected director of LARPD. I am the director who advocated, initiated, and helped create a multitude of trails within Sycamore Grove, including a trail that connects Sycamore Grove with LA. As part of the current revision of the LARPD master plan, we show trail T10. This proposed trail will go east from the city of Livermore to the west border of Tesla. The proposed trail is a dotted line on the map and does not reference a multi-use trail or any other type of trail. It also does not include or imply that T10 will enter the Tesla property. Sending this letter to the Board of Supervisors is currently written where you want the Board of Supervisors to advocate for a multi-use trail to and within Tesla and staging areas, et cetera, is premature. It's essential that state parks decide on the park classification for any specific development such as trails is considered. He is also the Sierra Club representative to the Altamont Landfill Open Space Committee. After many discussions and careful considerations, we have recommended to state parks that Tesla be classified as a state natural reserve. We base this recommendation on evidence from numerous scientists who documented the protected special status species and essential ecological functions on the property. And the results of our parcel prioritization tool will show that most of the highest ranked grasses for biodiversity are in or adjacent to Tesla. And he urges us not to send this letter forward. I think that summarizes my view pretty well. This is sending this letter forward, I think, is premature and should await a decision by state parks on Tesla status or anything else. Thank you, Bill.
Is there any more discussion from the board? Larry?
The argument that this has been premature is one that seems to be coming fairly standard. And within the literature of the Department of State Parks itself, they consider this stage of the process to be specifically to list uses and classifications. So according to the state—
Could you repeat that, Larry? I'm sorry, at this stage?
At this stage, the purpose of the process is to define or receive uses and classifications. So a gate is a use, fairly. So I think that's fairly significant to keep that in mind, because the argument that's being made that we're not at the right stage for process is just absolutely incorrect, and I'm absolutely certain. That being said, the next stage of the process is to put together a general plan. That document undoubtedly is going to be at least 250 pages long. There's the potential for it to be multi-volume, and probably will be with all the appendices. That being the case, that the effort put into producing that document makes it difficult to just kind of say, oh yeah, let's put a gate here and let's plant flowers over there. The general plan process is the first solid step of locking in. What follows is the CEQA analysis, and it's been proposed that we not express an opinion until CEQA is conducted. CEQA process is a description of the project. It's still subject to change. There's no doubt about that at all. But it is a process where the public is also told, and the elected officials are told, that changes can be made, but it's accepted that there will be impacts. I mean, it is a step of locking in the process that's even more dramatic. So, I mean, there can be changes in plans after a project is completely built out. But the point is, we're at the appropriate stage for the process now to be coming. So all that being said, you know, I personally believe that, first of all, the trail concept from Greenville to Tesla, or I'm sorry, Greenville to the potential staging area, I think it makes a lot of sense, first of all. Second of all, it's already been approved by the Board of Supervisors. It turns out that in 2019, there's a bicycle plan for the East Bay that describes a multi-purpose trail, or classifies a multi-purpose trail, that extends from Greenville all the way to the San Joaquin County. So it may be the case that we want to modify the letter to a degree to acknowledge the fact there's been an approval of that trail. Now, with the increased uses that come from the state park, it makes sense that there be an alternate route that's used on pre-existing roads that have been historically used for commerce, industry, agriculture, and transportation. So I think what's being considered by the trails subcommittee has nothing to do with creating new trails or anything else. It's using well-established trails that have existed since the end of the 1800s. Now, on top of all that, the arguments that are being made against these uses of the park have to do with the bioresources of the area. And I agree that bioresources are phenomenal. That being said, those bioresources are in place with a 7,000 acre international research and development facility. They're in place after being subjected to coal mining operations in the area. They're in place after being subjected to tile works and brick factories in the area. They're in place after extended grazing by livestock. The area is a working landscape. And one of the byproducts of that working landscape is one of the most biodiverse areas in the Bay Area. It's been described as such by people that oppose having trails on the property. So with that being the case, it's just a dramatic example of not only the concept of the working landscape, but also demonstrates the potential to have uses that are mixed with improvement of habitat for wildlife, certainly, but improvement of habitat for families and little kids that want to ride bicycles. I mean, we don't have many options in the Bay Area. And as of yet, I haven't heard somebody come along and say, well, here's a better spot for a state park that's existing and ready to go. I appreciate the wildlife issues, but I think there is room to make a lot of improvements up there without compromising the other uses. Once again, going back to my original point, the purpose of the study at this time is to describe uses and to have a classification. I believe it's the intent of the park district staff to be the ones that make that classification if it's needed, but they've already declared that all the potential classifications can occur within the park, and it's not going to be sort of a mono use with only one type of demonstration of uses. The uses
will be now, first. If I understand correctly, what you're saying there, Larry, is that State Parks has indicated that it's not all or nothing
yes.
for them on this issue that the letter is trying to avoid the park reserve preserve issue. They could have some of all of them, essentially.
That's correct. They will have cultural reserve activities, habitat reserve activities, park type activities or recreation activities. It's mixed use. And getting back to the uses that pre-exist, immediately adjacent to this planned park is an off-highway vehicle park that's been used since the 40s and has been official since the 60s.
Tracy,
that's it.
Thank you, Larry. Well, you can clarify, Dick, that this is not about designating a classification, correct?
It is not.
This is uses only, and that's what I understand it to be.
Yes.
I'm going to channel Carl here for a second, and he may laugh at me as I say it, but I keep thinking about our purpose, our powers, and our duties, which is also to advise and to be able to give some advice on possibilities and potential. And what I just see in this letter is us advising on behalf of the potential to have the trail in there. It could possibly. Everything in here says possibly and could, and the opportunity to connect and basically putting the trails priority that this committee has been working on since I've been on here to the top. And I agree with Larry in the fact that this is the time to actually put in your word and say, and so that you don't get a year down the road and then, oh, I wish you would have told us about that earlier, you know, so that we could have considered it. And that's only from my experience in proposing opportunities to the county, et cetera. So I think it is well done. There was only one word that said would, and if you might want to just change that to could simplify staging. As opposed, you know, I know what you meant by it, but I think between the coulds, the continuous, and the fact that in 2016 it already said this was a possibility and that it should be considered, that I recommend that we submit the letter and that the chair has the authority to do that on behalf of the AAC.
Okay, well. If we are, we need a motion if we're going to take any action. And should we wait for a motion before we take public comment? I know the public wants to comment on the side.
Hi, this is Carl, and I make a motion to the effect of what Tracy just said. To empower you as a leader of the organization to make stand and move forward. And no need to wait. We are to advise. She said it well. I'll shush now. Hopefully, okay. Ali, my motion makes sense.
I'd love the second Carl's motion.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, we have a motion and a second. So we should take public comment.
You can have discussion
do we want to have any more discussion on this motion right now as it exists? Is the motion exactly this letter, or is there any edit that we are going to recommend to this letter, I guess? Only question. I feel like maybe
I agree changing that one word. That
I just like to make some respond a little bit. There is no rush to do this. This is a multi-year planning process. There's no deadline coming up where comments have to be in or where the parking lots need to be. Those are years down the line. There's preserve status does not include hiking and access. What this letter takes aside, the argument right now is whether to preserve Tesla is a preserve or is a more developed state park. And by the facilities that are proposed in this letter, this committee is taking a side, and we should not be doing that at this point. There's a long planning process ahead. The vast majority of the environmental community that has worked on this is on the side of the preserve, and I think that's where this committee should be.
Bill,
you're out of...
Yeah. I respectfully disagree, and I'll tell you why. If we do it now, and we've had state reps at our committee meeting who have invited us to get involved sooner, not later, One. Two, there's projects going up, the sewer project going up. I don't know how far it goes up Tesla. After they finish putting in sewage, they can leave a piece on the side of the road for a trail. They've done that many places in other areas and even in our county. So we've got, and similarly, we've got a pretty nice pass up to Mines Road, and we want to make it hopefully the same up that corridor. And the funding, if we do it now, and we had a long discussion last night about the timing in our meeting, and we agreed that the timing really is now. We got to get on board. So to wait is to miss funding opportunities, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know what funding opportunities you're talking about, but this is this is at least going to be a 2 to 3 year process before any decision is made. So I fail to see the urgency. And State Park says it's a standard process. They come out with a generic programmatic plan, which, you know, where they don't say this is going here, this is going there, and then they actually implement it without any projects, without any environment. So I think we should stay out of this until State Parks makes us a city.
Any more comments from the board before we open the public comment? Okay, let's move to public comment now.
So we have four, five speakers in the room and four online. You want me to go back and forth between them?
Yes, that sounds fine.
Kip Schneider in the room. You have 2 minutes. Go ahead, Dave.
Steve Parks had 3 minutes.
Sorry, Dave.
So I'm going to read this, but I have copies for everybody, so I don't know if there's something to
read. Yes, I can do that. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm Dick Schneider, and I'm a member of the Alameda County Resource Consultation District, the directors of Irma Hat. ACRCD has supported the Alameda Tesla property being classified as a state natural reserve since 2022. Since that time, significantly more information has become available that reinforces our position. In particular, a comprehensive study, commonly referred to as the Tesla Bio Assessment, has been published, peer-reviewed, and endorsed by over 40 scientific experts in the relevant subject areas. The 170-page bio assessment has an entire section on recreation impacts on natural resources, including an extensive literature review of the effects of trails on plants, wildlife, and ecosystem services. The review covers impacts to soils, water and hydrology, habitat fragmentation, impacts on vegetation and vegetation communities, impacts on riparian and aquatic resources, invasive species, direct and indirect impacts on wildlife, including behavioral changes, functional habitat loss, and population and community level changes specific to trail associated recreation. To the best of my knowledge, the AAC as a whole has not reviewed this material, nor has received testimony from specialists in these particular subject areas. It is therefore premature to make any recommendations to the Board of Supervisors about multi-use trails and development inside the Alameda Tesla property. Moreover, there's plenty of time to hear from specialists since the planning process for Tesla is targeted to take about 2 more years. Please do not send any recommendation to the Board of Supervisors until you have heard from experts who actually conduct scientific research in this subject area. Please remember that your charge is to enhance the economic viability of agriculture and to minimize environmental impacts. Please take this part of your mission to heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
So we have another letter that's from a member of the public who's not here. I can read that into the record. So this is a letter to the Alameda County Agricultural Advisory Committee. So it says from David Purse. My name is David Purse, and I'm a Livermore resident. First off,
I think that's the one I read. I read it.
You read that. That was
I read
your,
it.
Oh, okay, sorry. Thank you. Yeah, and here's copies of it. I apologize. Maybe pass that right along. Never mind. So we'll go ahead to first speaker online. We've got Will Bolton. I'm going to go ahead and let's see.
We're going online next.
Yeah, we're going online next. So we're going to go back and forth. Will Bolton, can you hear me?
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Will Bolton, president of the Livermore Heritage Guild. I'm asking the Agricultural Advisory Committee to not approve forwarding any memo to the Board of Supervisors as requested in agenda item number 7. In addition to the damaging impact to the rare biological resources as documented by dozens of scientists and damage to tribal cultural resources as identified by tribal leaders, the proposed multi-use trails in the memo run directly through the historic Tesla mining and town site area, which could be designated as a cultural preserve and be eligible for listing on the National Register of Historic Places. The Heritage Guild wrote a special letter to state parks identifying that their plans for Tesla, which include the roads and trails referenced in the memo, promote destructive uses that should not be allowed. Given these important historic resources, there should not be multi-use trails with bikes, motorized e-bikes, and vehicular traffic in Tesla, and certainly not in the cultural preserve area. For these and many other reasons, I urge the committee to not approve the memo to the Board of Supervisors endorsing the plans described in the draft memo. I hope that this committee would stand with the Livermore Heritage Guild and so many others in the community to fully protect Tesla's extraordinary historic, tribal, and natural resources to maintain to the maximum extent possible, which is a state natural reserve. Thank you for the opportunity to provide these comments.
Next speaker, we've got Nancy Rodriguez in the room. Sorry if I said that wrong.
I understand. Hi, I'm Nancy Rodriguez. I'm a 51-year Livermore resident. And it is my experience to totally preserve Tesla for nearly 15 years, and that I would ask you to not approve the draft memo, which is proposed to send to the supervisors. Tesla is a treasure for our county, our region, our state, and we need to treat it as such. Mm. There are some natural landscapes that are so special and unique that they require the level of extra protection of natural reserve provides. Tesla is such a place. For those of you that are aware of the current effort to preserve the Diablo Range, Tesla is part of that. And it's a critical wildlife corridor within that range. A natural reserve will allow low-intensity public access, such as hiking and cultural resource interpretations, but the management priority is to fully protect the resources. I'm an avid hiker. I've hiked all of the public park lands in the Tri-Valley and all of the East Bay Regional Parks. I have seen the proliferation of multi-use trails with mountain bikes and e-bikes throughout many of our public parks. Such high intensity uses push out low intensity users like hikers, equestrians, and nature enthusiasts. The damage and impacts that they cause to sensitive resources and to other park users cannot be ignored. Providing access to public lands is a valuable goal, but access for all does not mean access for all uses in all places. Access has to be compatible with the resources. The multi-use trails, the large west side parking and station areas proposed in the draft memo are not compatible with protecting Tesla's sensitive resources. Almost every park in this region allow high intensity uses. And I think it's time to offer a different experience for the people that live here. Tesla is a treasure for us and we need to treat it as such. Please do not approve the draft memo. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker is online. Marilyn Russell. Go ahead, Marilyn, you have 2 minutes.
Just can I remind the public that
Okay. Can you hear?
Hello, can you hear me?
We sure can, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Okay, I am Marilyn Russell, a 50-year resident of Roofs Road, which is a spur of Tesla Road, and very close to the property called Tesla Park. I appreciate the efforts and passion the Trails Committee has demonstrated for a great trail system in the valley. But as a devoted advocate for agriculture and a conservationist, I have to oppose this letter supporting the high intensity use for the Tesla property for many reasons. First, I'm very sad to say that as a lifetime equestrian and a rancher with great respect and regard for land and trails, I am saddened to see the off-road trail destruction that has occurred, especially in state parks, with unruly mountain bikers and now e-bikes. A recent article in Backcountry Horseman's newsletter reported that of the 5,000-acre Annadale State Park in Santa Rosa, once a mecca for trail riders, is now used by less than 0.5% of equestrians due to aggressive bike users and the danger of encounters with rapid-moving bikes and the inability of rangers to control the situation. Mount Tamalpais has suffered the same fate, and I am appalled by the renegade trails in Del Valle, Pleasanton Ridge, and the arroyos of Livermore. I have been dedicated for over 20 years ensuring that the 3,100-acre Tesla property be classified as a state reserve with low-intensity uses and highest protection of the priceless resources there. To support the opening of this land to multi-use trails is premature, and it does not honor the classification process critical to a vision for this area. Without proper classification, there is a potential for unplanned and unintended consequences. Therefore, please do not send this letter until the classification is complete. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next speaker in the room, Celeste Garamendi.
Celeste
in the room.
Oh, Celeste.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Celeste. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. I'm Celeste Garamendi. I live on Connolly Ranch that borders Carnegie SBRA and Tesla. I've been working with Friends of Tesla Park for 25 years. I know the land. I know the issues. I know state parks management well. Unfortunately, some of the information that was discussed by the committee tonight is simply wrong. And what it demonstrates is the need for this committee to get more information if it is going to act on this, even though I think it is well outside the committee's purview as a committee to deal with agricultural issues. I ask this committee to vote against forwarding the draft memo to the supervisors for many reasons that you'll hear tonight. The committee has not reviewed the 2 decades of work about Tesla's irreplaceable biological resources or studied the comprehensive, extensively sourced, peer-reviewed by some of the top scientists and academics at UC Berkeley regarding the biological assessment and the associated scientist consensus statement. They have not looked at the 300-year historical record of Tesla, which you heard about, that includes the Tesla Mining District and the potential for listing on the National Registry of Historic Places if it can be preserved. You have not heard the long struggle of Indigenous leaders to preserve their ancestral lands, which include Tesla. You have not studied the Public Resources Code and how those statutes define that Tesla exceeds the requirements of a natural reserve. You have not heard about the overwhelming public support for Tesla to be a natural reserve. The proposed uses in the draft memo would damage Tesla's irreplaceable resources. There is absolutely no question about that. And they undermine the opportunity to establish Tesla as a natural reserve. I will wrap it up, Jenna. There are no state natural reserves in this region, but there are many active recreation parks. This is a unique opportunity to establish an exceptional public experience, providing low intensity access for enjoyment and education while protecting truly extraordinary and irreplaceable outstanding resources of statewide significance. We hope this committee will join the community wide effort to establish Tesla as a natural reserve and not impede it. I ask you not to move this memo forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker is online, Beth W. Go ahead, you have 2 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Beth Wurzberg from the East Bay chapter of the California Native Plant Society. We ask that the committee not approve forwarding the draft memo to the Board of Supervisors. The memo endorses the construction of large staging areas on Tesla's west side and of multi-use trails cutting across Tesla to the east. The endorsement does not consider the impact of this construction and these uses on Tesla's exceptional natural resources. Tesla is a gem. It should become the first state natural reserve in our part of California. It has dozens of rare and special status animals and plants and the intact habitats that support them. It's critical habitat for the red-legged frog and the Alameda whipsnake. Regionally, Tesla is at a pinch point in the Diablo Range. It's part of the critical linkage habitat corridor that connects the northern and southern parts of the Diablo Range, allowing migration that helps maintain genetic diversity and resiliency across the entire range. Tesla is of statewide significance. Scientists at UC Berkeley and at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife have both recognized the Tesla area as a biodiversity hotspot in all of California and as a top statewide conservation priority. Any development or trail in Tesla must be carefully considered because of the possible grave impacts to Tesla's wildlife and habitats. Research documents the damaging impacts on natural landscape when high-intensity recreation and associated development, including multi-use trails, are introduced. These uses also alter wildlife behavior, affect foraging and reproduction, and lead to population-level impacts. Dozens of organizations, community groups, and local and state representatives have worked for decades to save Tesla. We ask that this committee not take any action that could jeopardize Tesla's irreplaceable natural resources or undermine the possibility of establishing Tesla as a state natural reserve. We respectfully ask that the draft memo not be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Mark Connolly in the room. Mark, you have 2 minutes.
My name is Mark Connolly. I'm a rancher in Connolly Ranch. We've been there for 150 years. I'm intimately familiar with Tesla property, the Carnegie SVRA. We border 2 miles on the Tesla property and 2 miles on the Carnegie SVRA. I'm shocked tonight after reading the purposes of this committee that I have not once heard an expression for concern for agriculture. This seems to be a trails committee and not an agricultural committee. I can tell you from personal experience the severe adverse impacts of having the state park, Carnegie SVRA, and these type of multi-trails adjacent to our agricultural operation. I do want to correct, since I'm intimately familiar with the Tesla property, that there is no trail that's been described tonight by Mr. Gosling that goes directly from the staging area to the Carnegie SVRA. There are no existing commercial, industrial, developed roads. This is going to be new road development, which is inconsistent with the reserve classification and highly detrimental to the agricultural operations like ours, Connolly Ranch, which has been there 150 years in the same location before there was when the Carnegie Brickworks was there and all the things you talk about. So that information that you provided is not correct. I understand state parks, April Marsh and other persons have been lobbying the committee heavily to get this approved. The statement is correct. This is a program EIR. It is not a project. How do I know that? Because I was the attorney who successfully represented Connolly Ranch to set aside the prior EIR and general plan proposed by state parks for the same property that they proposed in 2016. And I can tell you this is the fourth general plan and EIR that's been proposed for this property. And it's the fourth one that state parks is attempting to do the same thing, produce high use, highly damaging, inconsistent with agricultural use. And I can tell you the letter that you are being proposed to send and lobbied by state parks to send is inconsistent with the reserve classification and is an interference with the EIR process, which is just commencing at this point and will take many years. So I ask you, you haven't been on the trails to the property. You've been given incorrect information about the property. I would be happy to take you out there. Your letter says state parks has not allowed you on the trails. That does not surprise me. Let's take a trip out there and look at it. Let's take a little while to look at the classification. Let's take a little while to get the information before we jump into a project that has been ongoing since 2002 when they first proposed their first EIR.
Okay, our next speaker is online. Jennifer, go ahead, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Spence. I've been working within the Native American community for over 10 years, including as a representative of the Tri-Valley Native American Center in Livermore to protect Tesla as a reserve. And our perspective is that in addition to the natural resources and historical resources, Tesla is also ancestral land to the indigenous people of the Ohlone tribe in the East Bay, the Northern Valley Yokuts in the Central Valley, and other tribes throughout the region. We believe Tesla must be preserved at the highest level to protect the entire tribal cultural landscape, which encompasses all of the land. The tribal cultural landscape is more than any archaeological feature or historical prehistoric artifacts. They're one and the same as part of the entirety of the land. The recommended multi-use trails and large parking areas in the draft memo will damage the tribal cultural landscape. The proposal is made with no consideration to the destructive effects that this will have on tribal resources. There are very few places that remain where the cultural landscape of the indigenous people is preserved. We hope that as a community, we can establish Tesla as a reserve, which will honor and protect the entire tribal cultural land and the natural landscape that are to be considered as one by the tribes and their traditional cultural values. We ask that this committee not approve sending the memo that would endorse potential destructive uses, as it seems irresponsible to make any recommendations without full and complete education on the scientific data that give a full picture as to the effects or negative effects of development within Tesla until classification is made. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you.
Great. Next speaker in the room is Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew, you have 3 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Andrew Turnbull.
2 minutes, sorry.
I am a horseman for the last 26 years, and I really respect the lady who called in talking about how horses and their bikes don't bode well together, and having control of trails is a major issue. The other thing is, I heard a lot of passion from each one of the people who spoke, but I want to go back to something Jack Norton said early in the beginning, because, or maybe not, somewhere along the line where he said, "There seems to be a discussion of all or nothing, and it seems to be a discussion of ag versus bikes." Now, there's an implied thing here because I'm working in Alameda County to prove to the planning group that horses are ag. The 2018 Farm Bill says horses are ag, horses are ag. So I want to ride my horse on that trail. And I think that somebody hiking on that trail, by the way, the trail is, I drove out there, I took a video of it. In fact, I'd like to ask, and I know it's probably beyond my time, sir, but you know, he brought a presentation with from pictures. There's a big giant hill that separates what looks to me something I could drive my truck on today. Saying there's no trail there and denying Mr. Goslin his opinion is out of line, in my opinion. In fact, I think if the chair would allow it, let's give some time to present a little bit more about this if there's any left discussion before a vote.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. No. I have 19 seconds. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I've sat through the committee. I'm understanding the process that this is an opportunity to make a recommendation. It is appropriate for this committee to make a recommendation to the supervisors. The Trails Group has made that recommendation. I suppose that the process, I don't quite understand whether this process gets to get knocked down by this committee or not, but it seems to me the Trails folks have spoken, and I'm in favor of the letter. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and this looks like our final speaker on this item online, Jean King. Go ahead, Jean, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, good evening. I am Jean King from Livermore, California. I am very glad that I was at the meeting today and I saw those maps that you were looking at that other organizations have put forth. And what those maps show are connecting trails to get the public to the parks. And I am opposed to your memo as it is now because, but I would like you to make some recommendation about connecting trails, trails to get the people to the park. It is one thing to approve a trail connection from the valley to the border of Tesla, but it is an entirely different matter to advocate for development of high-intensity multi-use trails and facilities within Tesla itself. You need to be working on the connecting trails to the parks, not what trails are in the park. The draft memo implies that the LARPD plan would support multi-use trails and associated development, but that's not the case. The LARPD plan only identified a trail connection to Tesla. The East Bay Regional Park District Master Plan identified that Tesla was a potential regional reserve, which is comparable to a natural reserve within the state park system. Neither the LARPD plan nor the East Bay Regional Park plan provided for or endorsed development of multi-use trails and associated facilities developed at Tesla. I don't believe endorsing the internal site plans for Tesla is within the purview of the Agricultural Advisory Committee. But if the committee were to consider any such action, it should only do so after research, public input, and vetting of any proposed position. There's no urgency to act precipitously without all required information. The draft general plan and draft EIR are not targeted to be issued until early 2027 and final action later in 2027. Comments can be continued to be submitted on the TESTA project. Do not approve the memo as you've got it drafted now. Work on a thing to support the connecting trails to get people to the parks and let them.
Thank you, Mrs. King. Your time's out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh. We have no other public comment.
Okay. Keep in mind that we have another important item after this one. Is there any more? Do we have any more board discussion before we take a vote? Hearing no Eric?
Yeah, I just look on Google Earth again, clarify that. The two named dirt roads that I can see from the area, and these are named dirt roads, leading from the area that David Vaughn has proposed and then extending down to the existing headquarters. Those roads are named McLaughlin Road and Coleman Road. There is a significance to them having names, and that it indicates there's possibility that they were recognized back in the early 1900s as roads that provided services to communities that existed.
Yeah, I'll make one. I think heard a lot of passion tonight from the public. Those are the people that are working in Tesla for the last decade or multi-decades. And I would say that there's no rush to take any position on where the picnic tables go. There's no need for this letter to go forward now. There'll be plenty of time after. State Parks makes a decision on status after the committee's had a chance to review the tons of information that are available on Tesla, potential impacts, and absolutely no need for us to act at this time.
Thank you. Okay. No other board comment. Let's take a roll call.
So just a reminder, this is on a motion made by Member Wente, seconded by Member Quigley to send a letter as written with that one change to the letter. Good, I think. Right? Good.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So roll call. Chair Norton.
Yes.
Vice Chair Roberts is excused. Member Anderson?
Yes.
Sorry, was that a yes?
Yes.
Member B. Miller?
Yes.
Member Campos?
No.
Member Farha?
Yes.
Member Goslin?
Yes.
Member Harvey excused. Member Hoppies?
No.
Member Plintzinger is excused. Member Moore excused. Member Quigley?
Yes. Yes.
Member Sullivan?
No.
Member Sweet is excused. Member Wente?
Yes.
And Member White, excuse, let me just do a count.
The vote is seven yeses and 1, 2, 3 noes. So the ayes have it.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 8. A proposed recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding limited subdivision of large agricultural parcels for the purpose of maintaining family farms and agricultural operations. This is an important issue that we've identified recently. And Jerry, would you like to
Yeah, I think you all have a copy of the proposed recommendation. I have my son here with me, Griffin B. Miller. I'll read the executive summary. Generations of Alameda County families are facing a growing crisis of continuity. Existing land use restrictions written decades ago in a different circumstances make it nearly impossible for families to keep their land in agriculture through generational transition. The inability to subdivide large parcels prevents families from providing homes for their children, dividing operational responsibilities, or passing down manageable portions of the farmland. This forces many large parcel owners like myself to sell, often to non-farming investors, eroding the agricultural fabric of the county. This proposal asks the Agricultural Advisory Board to take formal action to recommend that the Board of Supervisors place an agricultural subdivision measure on the 26th ballot, allowing limited subdivisions of large agricultural parcels for the purpose of maintaining family farms and agricultural operations. So this issue has surfaced recently on my property in particular, so far as Griffin, who is expecting his third kid, is looking to build a house. So we said, okay, how do we do that? Because he now lives in a manufactured home as a caretaker house on the front of the property. So we banked with Fremont Bank, went to the bank, talked to them about, well, how do we do this? And they said, well, we can't loan on that because, if he wants to build his own house, he has to have his own property. And I know that Rex talks about that he's got similar issues with his family. And so there's not probably a lot of us, but there are some of us who lived on the land for a while. I'm kind of a near-term ag guy. I've only been doing serious agriculture for the last 12 years. I've had cattle on the property since I owned it in 78. But now we're an active participating agritourism business. And a nice little winery, and I think most of you have been there. So it just seems to me that we need to start to take. We have to think about, well, what are we gonna do about families that love itself and Rex's family, and I know Chuck.
There's a number of
families. Yeah, there's a number of us who are in the same book. And I in particular have 5 kids. I mean, my daughter who lives in Livermore would like to build a house out there as well, but she can't. So I think we've got to put something in front of the board to suggest to them that ag families need to be able to have a succession plan so their kids can have a little piece of the property. And if it's something like the Livermore plan with 20-acre parcels, maybe that's, because there's going to probably have to be some guardrails somehow. But I'd like to put it before the board for discussion, and if you guys think it makes sense, then I'll try to campaign it to the. I know that our supervisor Halbert is in support of this, and I don't see any reason not to do it. So I'm curious to hear what the board thinks about it, and how we might move something like this through the system.
You and I, Jerry, talked about this a little bit. I believe very strongly we need guardrails if we were to entertain such an idea. And I'm in support of this idea. It's what are the guardrails? I, for one, believe that the way of measuring the use of the land based on plot size
needs to be rethought. And if we're in ag land and Griffin's doing ag and Goddard's doing ag and others' children are continuing ag and there's an effective, reviewable ag management plan, so be it. Who cares if it's 5 acres or the whole thing? It's using the ag and promoting agriculture and open space, and that's and being economically viable.
Yes, Brent.
But I thought, is it?
I'm sorry, Brent. Oh, we should have maintained the quorum. I'm really sorry about that. But
go ahead.
Let's see if any other quorum.
Yes, I forget. It's almost almost not the standing.
Basically, never.
That's why I have my
still want to treat you. Well, for myself, Jerry, I'd like to understand what potential guardrails could be, because if we leave it up to staff to create those guardrails, they may not make ones that we think are particularly appropriate. So I would urge us to put some consideration into what those
would be. Yeah, I read Jerry's write-up, and over the years that I've been close to the large landowner community in the valley, and some of the folks are dead now, they've had this problem. And I know in the city, they do lot line adjustments, and that's kind of the guardrails, I think.
But you can only do a lot line adjustment if you have a lot.
Yeah.
And a problem with
the... with large eggs, 100 acres or more in the Williamson Act, I don't have an answer, but I am supportive to the need. And I think it's something that the committee might be able to wrestle with and noodle and come up with some ideas and suggestions. I got a ballot measure. I don't know that if that would fly, quite frankly. But
well, my understanding, Dick, is this being this is a substantial change to Measure D, it needs a ballot measure.
Okay.
Like this.
Other people, it appears to me that that's the case.
If that's the only way, it makes sense. But I think it's certainly worthy of this committee to be supportive of it. That's my feeling.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I certainly understand the need. I am very leery of just punting this to the Board of Supervisors and say, hey, do you want a ballot measure? I'd be more in favor of this, of seeing something much more substantive coming from this group that actually could be a real proposal that takes into account. I know there's some flexibility, you know, for additional dwellings within the building envelope, and I'd like, so I just am very leery of punching a hole in the Measure D, and I think we'd be swimming upstream because you'd have to convince people, you know, in Berkeley and Hayward and Union City that this is something that needs to be done, and that's a tough haul. So I'd like I'm not in favor of just sending this to the Board of Supervisors without some meat on the bones on a proposal that I can fully understand.
Yeah, I think the concept of guardrails is important, and I think we should make a significant contribution to defining those guardrails. Completely agree with Mr. Hoppe that there needs to be a little bit of clarification of those issues. Now, it should remember that also justification of the need for this is something that's remarkably important. So we can justify it beyond the growing of the pyramid by pointing out that Measure D has not been effective with enhancing agriculture of the area. And there have been numerous studies that have shown agriculture to be declining. You don't necessarily have to say that Measure D causes the decline. We can correlate the decline decline and just say it exists, it's not happening. So I support agricultural enhancement, and I come from a background in which I can say that 20 acres is remarkably viable. I came into the Tri Valley in 1981, well over 15 years, and at that time, the horse industry was supported on the periphery of towns with small parcels, as small as a couple of acres, up to 20 acres in size, and those were vital hubs of horse activity that oftentimes led to people moving up to the larger parcels and establishing credible large-scale equestrian operations that contributed to the extended commercialization of agriculture. So it's not to say that those little properties aren't part of the commercial environment. They are. There's a remarkable amount of money that changes hands. There's quite a bit of people that are engaged in the agricultural lifestyle with those smaller parcels. And they're absolutely necessary incubators to have the large properties move into those types of uses that are going to create a culture of the land. It's also known as agriculture. So support the concept. I think we need to do some more work before we kick it up to the supervisors.
Thank you. Allie, could you please explain this?
Sorry, I'm just passing it up for one of the public speakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yes,
I'd like to, I agree with Bill too for adding more to it. The first thing I was thinking about is this is a total workforce housing issue as well as the family and succession and sustainability. And we've been working a lot on that as far as workforce housing. That could be one of those elements that we're able to help prove it in a little more meat. I know in order to get on the ballot, you pretty much have to have it already by March. I think that's March is the deadline.
So you're saying there's a little bit of time possibly? If this was ready at the January meeting.
I think it's worthy of at least really considering. And you know, as far as Measure D, that scares me for how huge that thing is. This just narrows it and brings it right down home. Especially since we're trying to keep everyone who lives here versus losing everybody. I mean, I'm on a workforce and educational committee on another group, and that's such a big issue. And not just for tech, but for ag as well. At least that's how I see it too. But so we're going to need to have, and then I wanted to ask, what is the downfall? Meaning, what is the negative side to this? Of course, I want families to be able to pass it down to their kids. And you got one of the kids too, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. I want that, but I don't know enough to know what the negative, and we always need to be able to have an answer to what someone's going to, you know, say about the, you know, the negative impacts.
Yeah, well, you know, to say that you don't want to change Measure D that's 25 years old, I guess I don't understand how things can't get updated to the appropriateness of the time. There's nothing that ever has been written that lasts forever, in my mind, that doesn't have nuance based on what the world is like today. So, you know, I don't understand the argument that I don't want to ever change Measure D. It's sacrosanct.
Well,
what if you change Measure D?
Yeah, there's already been one, but you know, I think there needs to be many
items you can focus on.
Yeah. How many public speakers do we have on this item, Allie?
Three, I think.
About three?
Yeah, I don't see any.
Rex is included in that three?
Four.
Four? Okay. Yeah. Do you guys mind if we hear some public comment and come back
please
to the board discussion? Okay, let's go to the public.
Okay, perfect. So, Dick Schneider, the item we just passed out was from him.
Okay, thank you, Dick.
Are you going to wear your different hat?
It's this.
I think it's that the highlighted.
Yep. So I have.
Should
I put your name on it?
Doesn't have my name on it, but
name on it.
I'm the one that's responsible for it.
Okay, I'm going to start the clock. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. So I have a number of points to make. I'll try and get through it in 2 minutes. First of all, I don't really understand the concept, and what I've heard, I don't think is legal. That is, you're going to condition a subdivision on the parcels remaining in the family. What happens if there's a change of circumstances to one of the owners? They have to move away. They decide to move away. House gets a job in the state of Washington. They want to sell the house. They get an enormous offer on the house. They want to sell. What's going to happen? Is that sale not going to be permitted? Is the land going to have to come back, congeal again to the... So anyway, I got a lot to go through. We spent too much on that one. I think it's still defined what's actually going to happen. Then there's the loss of land by subdivisions. This document is from the background reports for the 1994 ECAP, before Measure D, long before Measure D. And it's called urbanization of agriculture. I can't read it. I've highlighted the key sentence in here. When you start subdividing, you lose viable agricultural land. Look at, let's mention South Livermore. Those 20-acre parcels in South Livermore, they're not being replanted now because they had to be planted. They put the investment in. They grew grapes for 30 years, and they're not replanting because they have no market for the grapes. So smaller agricultural parcels can be not viable.
That's like any such farm.
Well, let me keep going. I don't have a lot of time. The timing. I think somebody mentioned, can and when does this go on? It took a year and a half to get Measure B 2022 on the ballot. Friends of Livermore proposed what became Measure B 2022 to this committee in June of 2021. Went to the Transportation and Planning Committee, went to a bunch of road shows, MACs. Refinements were made. Then the Board of Supervisors agreed to investigate further. And it took 6 months for an EIR, then another round of hearings to approve the EIR. It finally got on the ballot in August of 2022. So it takes a year and a half, basically, to get something on the ballot. There's time to go through this. There's no rush.
The 2 minutes are up, but it's up to the chair.
Just two more points. The zoning ordinance already provides for a big second house on the same parcel. As long as there's only one already in the 2 acre development on parcels less than 100 acres, a secondary dwelling unit shall be no larger than 2,000 square feet, and on parcels 100 acres or larger, 2,500.
Okay.
This is the zoning ordinance, section. Trust me,
you got that.
Is there
another point you want to give before you're done?
Yes, there is. It's likely to fail unless there's a lot of support and public support for this. Measure D 2022 had no opposition. 30% of the electorate voted against it, with no opposition but an argument by the Alameda County Taxpayers Association. If this is not done with support from a larger community, it's going to be a waste of effort and it's going to fail.
Okay.
Thank you, Tiff. Appreciate that.
So we do have one online speaker, we go to them. Okay, so King King, you can go ahead and unmute. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, yeah, I'm Jean King from Livermore. A working group was formed by the county more than 7 years ago to discuss possible changes to Measure D. The group included representatives from ranchers, vineyards, equine, other agriculture, landowners, parks, land trusts, and conservation organizations. I was a representative on that working group. There were 18 meetings. The county council was present for every one of those meetings and could come back with advice if a certain proposal was in conflict with existing policy, definitions, or statutes. AAC should get county council's opinion about B. Miller's proposal before taking any action on it. Do not act on this proposal this evening. How many people will be affected by this idea? Let county council have a chance to review it before you make a decision about this. Thank you.
Allie, I'm getting a text from Karen Sweet that she wants to speak on this issue. Is she trying to get in?
Great. Yeah, I'll make sure that it's on the phone. I see her.
Hello, Karen.
Hey, Karen. Shall we bring her back in when we close the comment?
I think so.
Okay. Great, I think this should scale. That's great. So next speaker is Andrew Turnbull in the room. Go ahead, Andrew. 2 minutes.
So I like to, from what I'm hearing, the recommendation here is to begin a process and initiate that this group would do the work. I heard other public comments that kind of went, oh, no, no, don't even start because it's just going to be too hard. It's going to take too long. And, you know, I keep my horses on 20 acres. It's a nice piece of property. It's a really nice piece of property. I've been on Jerry's land. I understand his plight. I understand other landowners' plight. And I'll make a reference to Tim Copeman, who, the fourth generation owner of the Copeman Ranch, was the first of all generations to follow that have to work off the ranch. They must find work off of the ranch in order for that ranch to continue. So the complications of keeping ag and making ag go the way that, as a voter, when I voted in favor of Measure D, it was supposed to be ag and open space. It's done a pretty good job on open space, stopping, making it pretty hard for ag. And so if Jerry's got an idea here and he's asking this group to consider it, to let's do some work, let's start the process, why not start now? Yes, it might take 18 months. It might take, maybe some a miracle occurs and you just become so smart, you get it done by March, but start the process. Yes, the guardrails concerns me greatly. I grew up in Livermore and I'm used to beautiful hills. So yes, guardrail it, but go ahead and work on it.
Thank you.
And I think I'm
okay. I had some comments prepared, but I'm just going to kind of talk about what has been discussed. I'm Griffin B. Miller, son of Jerry, work at Meliterra in Samoa. So a couple of things. I kind of piggybacking on what Andrew said. I don't know if anybody has a good grasp of what 100 acres is. Not exactly a small family farm. It's a big property, and 20 acres is also a large property. So as Dick mentioned, it would probably be illegal to say that only certain people can subdivide. This, as written, doesn't actually say that. What it says is it gives a family an opportunity for a succession plan. And yeah, you're probably going to be able to sell to a non-family member. But I'm not certain that's a bad thing, because now you're opening up the doors to people who want to farm in Alameda County, who maybe are having difficulty finding housing, and are able to take a 20-acre parcel and make it productive. So you're not only helping the family farms, you're helping somebody who wants to farm but can't afford a 100-acre parcel to do so. So it makes farming more equitable to the younger generation who is not able to afford a 100-acre parcel. On the fact that we have some potential voters in Berkeley and Oakland who might not agree with this, I don't know, but what this policy memo is suggesting is that we let the voters decide. That's what Measure D gives us as a means of making changes to the parcel size. It has to be done through a vote of the people. So let's see what the voters have to say about allowing more people to farm, allowing family members to continue farming on their land. Yes, there are secondary dwelling units that are allowed, but I can't build a house on land that I don't own. No lender in the world is going to do that. So a secondary dwelling unit is not very helpful when you don't own the land underneath the building that you built. I think the South Livermore Valley plan was brought up. I look at that as a positive. It was a fantastic, we can look at how it failed in certain, in all the areas where you have 18 acres of vineyard that are sitting idle and being ripped out. Let's look at the South Livermore Valley plan and see how and why it failed and use that as an opportunity to make something better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So same kind of thing. I'm a third generation. My kids are fourth generation. This is not as easy as it sounds. If this is does get the chance to move forward, because, you know, most of the large parcel owners are in Williamson Act.
I'm not in the Williamson Act. That's the reason why.
Okay. And because we did this once already for estate planning. And the way it is you have to apply to come out of the Williamson Act. And that's a 10-year process. And the taxes go up proportionally over the 10 years. And then once your subdivision is approved, for us, it was into 100-acre parcels, then you apply right away to get back in them. And there is, it's not going to be everywhere. The topography, number one, limits the roads, the water, the septic, that all,
sure,
you know, eliminates a lot of properties already. What we're talking is most of this stuff will be on the frontage of the roads. If the property is suitable for this. So my situation, I have two sons. They both love the property out there. They, you know, I love it out there, but what do I do? I move out of my house. And so both my kids can move in and I have to move out of the area, you know, and is that fair? And, you know, no, you know, I have four brothers. We all kept the property, you know, in the hopes that family members, you know, would want to move out there. And that was the grandfather's plan and the father's plan. And, you know, I'm a father too, and that's my plan. Unfortunately, the plan worked, but we only are allowed two houses. So what do I do? I'm going to, you know, my kids are younger. That's easier for them to work the cattle. Yeah, I would turn it over to them, but then either I have to move in town or, you know, I lived in town. I don't like it. So, you know, the other thing is there are ways to do guardrails. Okay, you can do a property owners association where it has to stay in agriculture. You know, Dick mentioned that, you know, South Livermore Valley Plan, they took out, you know, vineyards, and they haven't replanted. Well, that's because that's a market. 90,000 acres that came out of vineyards in the last year in California were torn out because there's no market. In the cattle industry, we've had the same thing. Okay, we're susceptible to weather. If you don't have rain, you don't have feed. You can't afford to buy feed. For your cattle, it's too expensive. And so what you do is you cull your herd. And it's the same sort of thing. Okay. So I do think this might have been a little premature, but I do think a subcommittee ought to be set up to study this, because I do think it's only fair to do it. Personally, I don't think 500 acres of solar farming in North Livermore is farming. Okay. And I don't even think that should qualify for Measure D. North Livermore Avenue. So
I heard exactly what you just said.
The new 500 acre solar farm.
Yeah. Oh, the solar farm. Oh,
yeah.
The solar farm, that's, yeah.
Like, that's not
like runs of tank farms.
Yeah. And that's not farm. But that's approved, farm. Right?
Actually, it is.
So,
okay, guys. Rex, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I know. I was okay. Pretty much looking to you to see when you were going to cut me off.
let's get Karen on the line. She's
yeah, do you want to close public comment?
I think
okay.
if public comment's done, let's close that. And let's get Karen on the line.
All right. Karen, you can unmute if you're on your phone by pressing star six. Karen, can you hear us? Are you the 925 number? I think that's you. Press star six to unmute.
Karen, press star six to unmute. You can hear us.
We could try to go back to her. There's more discussion.
Okay, yeah. Is there, if she's having trouble calling in, maybe she could even write in so that we could.
That's true. Yeah. Karen, if you can hear us, you can write an email. We could get it into the record at night.
Thank
you. Yeah, or you can text the chair.
Yes.
Or Bill.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If Karen's trying to reach you, we're trying to get her on the phone, but we're not getting any reason that far. So if she even just wants to write, we could read that in.
Can I actually just make one more?
Sure.
But so, you know, just because it's 100 acres doesn't mean it's going to stay in agriculture, because we've seen all sorts of McMansions built in Snow and Fremont. And they kick the cattle off and they bring in the motorbikes and they make, you know, tracks for their kids. And the kids grow up and move away and they don't want to live there. Yeah. And so, you know, someone else's dream home is not my dream home. So those properties are tough to sell. And 100 acres is not a viable catalog.
Thank you. So while we're waiting for, in case Karen gets to say her piece, seems like on the one most permissive end, how would this work? It would be large parcel ag minimums went down, right? I don't think that's necessarily, maybe that's proposed solely for, maybe that's not. But as it exists, it seems like we are asking staff to come up with something. And I like the idea of giving them some more direction personally.
Does the EIR have to be done? That's a good step.
County Council's not here, right? Okay.
It's very likely that it would require
the Now, the county just did one. We piggyback off that one for the housing element update.
I don't know. Because
it's 2 years old.
If Jerry, if would if this motion may pass and we do as the agenda says, no point in that. But if it doesn't, or would you be interested in spearheading, fleshing this out more as another?
Sure. I brought it here mostly for discussion, not necessarily to get consensus, but. To, you know, what is it that you would like to see? I think, you know, preserving the family farm, I think it's hard to argue that.
I don't even know whether this maybe belongs in land use too, or but I'm just
wondering. Yeah,
as a leader of this, I
sorry, but
you're part of land use.
Yeah, but I'm happy to try to narrow this down to maybe something a little more detailed, but I think I'd like to have the support of the board that the concept is a worthy one,
mm-hmm.
and that we should try to pursue something more specific along these lines that would support a good succession plan for folks who want to continue to work the ag business in Alameda County.
I think it's worthy, and I like the idea that you mentioned a subcommittee to really dive into it. I'm a little hesitant on it being added to the land use subcommittee since we already have like 9 things on our.
Maybe Alan, just asking, would this be an appropriate time to start an ad hoc committee regarding this item?
Yeah, if it's time bound and for a specific purpose. Yeah.
And I feel like we get farther if County Council helped out because we're trying to, you know, give input on something. We need to make sure that whatever we craft is legal or not. We don't want to put a bunch of work in and then figure out later.
Yeah, I'd have to sort of, I guess, find out when that would be appropriate, you know,
okay.
At what point. That could be part of the direction.
I do have something, Karen, basically along the lines with the conversation the last couple of minutes. She says, we have to prepare something ourselves before sending anything. The board of supervisors. That's in line.
So that's from Karen. That's there. Do you find a comment? Okay, and that sounds even in line with your own ideas, Jerry. That's great. So how does that look? I'm asking the board now. Do we want to? I would say that this rationale you have here is excellent. And so the
whoever runs it, it's good. And I think much of the board would stand behind your rationale here. And if you could build something, a policy that was more substantive with this rationale in mind, I think the board would support that. So this is an action item, and it sounds like Jerry is looking for an action. We're telling him, I think everybody's kind of telling him, this rationale is great, go flesh it out. Do we need a action item? It's not an action item to create that.
So do we want to flesh this out within the land use committee, or do you want to set up a, would you suggest a separate committee?
Separate ad hoc.
Yeah, I think it could be started in the land use committee.
Started it. Created ad hoc.
It would be an action item tonight. One thing we could take action on is to create this ad hoc committee to explore this and propose.
You just create the committee.
Ali says,
I'm not, you know, actually, I would defer to Larry on this.
I thought maybe
I think he historically, the chair has been empowered to commit the committee or to create the committee.
Yeah.
And the committees serve under his guidance.
Okay. Well, if I think is a neat way to wrap this up, unless I hear any objection from the board that we can discuss, I could go ahead and create an ad hoc subcommittee for this item with this rationale in mind, which could be expandable as well, but just it's what you presented to us today to explore what create a proposal for agricultural subdivision as a tool for family farm preservation.
Oh, good.
And are these ad hoc ad hoc committees restricted to members of the committee?
I don't know.
Well, no, the other subcommittees,
you can add them.
I would urge that if this committee is going to prepare this, that they solicit membership from all the Measure D communities, but the people that are familiar with Measure D, what the impacts or the solutions that may already be available or would come from any proposal. They get that input before as part of their process.
Yeah, I'll volunteer for that role.
The one thing I do know about an ad hoc subcommittee is that it should be time bound. So there should be like a, you know, we're going to look into this for 4 months, report back at X meeting.
Okay.
And then you can revisit it at that point.
6 months is probably way more than we need, right? So I could say 6 months. And
so I'd like to try to have something for the January meeting.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So that there's, you know, beyond a safe amount of time.
Okay.
It can be dissolved before then.
6 months. Okay.
If you do 4 months, that's your deadline for submitting the verbiage for the ballot
for the 2026.
Okay.
Okay.
4 months. 4 months. And we need to declare the members of this subcommittee. Right now, or just that the subcommittee's been created and spearheaded by
appointed chair, and the chair can pick something.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to appoint Jerry B. Miller as the chair.
Thank you.
Of this ad hoc subcommittee.
Okay.
You can add whoever you want.
Love. Okay, can we wrap up this item, guys, and skip all the others, or
yeah.
Thank you. All right, so item 8 is closed. We're going to skip brief subcommittee reports. Let's see if anybody has anything that they just absolutely have to say. We've heard about the turkey burn already for item 10. And as listed, we have the 11 agenda, item 11 agenda items suggested for future meetings. As always, you guys can contact myself or Allie with any suggestions for agenda items. And 8:35, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your time and consideration.
Yeah.